The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When it was evening, the disciples of Jesus went down to the sea, embarked in a boat, and went across the sea to Capernaum. It had already grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea was stirred up because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they began to be afraid. But he said to them, "It is I, and do not be afraid." They wanted to take him into the boat, but the boat immediately arrived at the shore to which they were heading. The Gospel of the Lord. The incident in our first reading is very instructive for how the church must move forward. It seems simple enough at first glance. Nobody in the ancient world was more vulnerable typically than a widow. Without a husband to support her, often with small children who depended on her, no stable means of supporting herself, it was very important to pay attention. And so we see that as the church began to grow, a number of its members were widows. And in the process of trying to care for them, they couldn't get to everybody. And that's the genesis of the incident that we have in the first reading, where a certain segment of the population was noticing a neglect or simply an oversight. And we have then an opportunity for grace and an opportunity for division at the same time. Has anybody ever been in a setting where all everybody does is complain? That's what could easily have happened here. And something that afflicts our parishes, our schools, our neighborhoods, our communities. Somebody notices a problem, and right away the issue is, why doesn't somebody fix that? And you notice how that implies that it's always somebody else needs to do it? And so it's really easy to complain that this is wrong, this is bad, I can't believe they're not taking care of this. And notice how there's a note of blame in that. Because it's so easy to say, well, if I was in charge, I'd take care of it, but precisely because I'm not in charge, I get to complain. And so the complaint comes to the apostles, the 12, that the widows on the Greek-speaking side of the community are not getting as much attention, as much care as on the other side, and that's a real problem. And the 12 apostles among themselves recognize something here. They recognize that we can't do everything by ourselves. And it's a remarkably important moment. These 12 men who were personally and directly called by Jesus, who are the ones who are in charge, who govern the community, also recognize that as the community grows, there's more work here than they can do. And so what do they say? We can't simply drop everything to fix every issue. Because what's going to happen then is we'll neglect the most important things. You know, lamentably, we see this same dynamic playing out in many of our parishes, for example, today, where father can't get to the things that are most important because somebody has to keep responding to all of the problems that keep rising. And so it is here, and note what the apostles do. They turn to the community that says there's a problem, and they say, then you need to help us solve it. And all of a sudden, what was the opportunity for division, the opportunity merely for complaining and not going forward, becomes an opportunity for somebody to step forward and contribute. It's a remarkably beautiful moment. The apostles look at those who say, we're not getting enough attention, and they say, you're right. But the only way we can fix this is if some of you step forward and help us solve the issue. And this is the origin, on the one hand, of the order of deacons in the church, but it's also the origin of the recognition that in addition to the vocation of the apostles, which Jesus personally gave them, there's now another understanding of vocation. Because Jesus isn't standing in front of the community picking and choosing who he wants to come and serve him. Note what the apostles do. Look among yourselves, because you have people of quality here. Choose several of high quality and bring them forward that they might help. And we see that calls to serve, calls for vocation, the call to the priesthood or the call to some other service in the church doesn't come when Jesus taps a guy on the shoulder and says, come with me. It also comes when the community sees something good in a young man or a young woman and says, you have something to offer, and it's time to move. And that's the beautiful thing that we see here, that for the community to move forward, now there is this recognition that God calls us through his church. And sometimes the call comes through the problem. Sometimes the call comes through the need. Because the one who responds to a need like that has a generous heart and an active heart. And those are two necessary conditions to serve well. And so in this moment, we see now that the church begins to grow in part because the apostles are willing to challenge the members of the community to step forward and to help support the church by doing what they can. It's a remarkably beautiful moment in our history. And it relates very well to our gospel reading, although at first glance, there doesn't seem to be any connection at all. You know, one could say, well, Father, come on. One is about widows being neglected when food is passed out, and the other has a guy walking on water. What exactly is the connection between those two things? Well, for one, those same 12 apostles are the guys in that boat. And what we have in the gospel is this remarkably beautiful incident where the disciples, the apostles, are in the boat and they're crossing to the other side. And the day's grown long and it's already beginning to get dark. Night is settling. And we hear that Jesus had not shown up to be with them. And so they're out on the water alone. This is not just an incident involving 12 guys in a boat. This is also a beautiful symbol of the very essence of the church as well. In fact, one of the most ancient symbols, names for the church, was the church is the bark of St. Peter, which is another way of saying boat. And so there's this image of the church as a boat on the sea. And it doesn't matter how big the boat is. On the sea, every boat is small. On the sea, every boat is tiny. On the sea, every boat is vulnerable to what happens on those waters. And so note the image. The body of Christ is like this boat, moving across the ocean of time, moving across the ocean of the world to get to the other side. The only way the people get to the other side is to get on the boat which carries them forward. And so the church is carrying mankind forward in this boat across the unruly waters of the world. And in sacred scripture, water is a complicated reality. We tend to think of water as something that's always good. But in sacred scripture, that's not the case, because people were well aware of how destructive water could be. From the great flood, which destroyed the world, to the storms, which could overwhelm small boats, the fact that water has no shape, water can't be easily contained, controlled, And so the only one in the Bible who is capable of controlling water is God. Mankind is at the mercy of it. The ocean is too big. When the storm comes, the waves are too great. We only have to think here on Long Island, back 12 years ago, to how destructive the waters after Superstorm Sandy were. And everything that man tried to do couldn't do anything against it. The water surged, it came, it was overwhelming. And so that's sitting behind everything that we're hearing in this, at first hand, first glance, really simple story. And so here they are, this handful of people in the boat trying to get to the other side. But they don't hear the voice of Jesus with them right now. They don't see his face. He's not obviously in the boat with them. They feel alone. They know they have to move forward, but they feel alone. And it's getting dark. Think about your own life. How many times is that exactly the way we feel? I know I need to move forward, but I feel small and alone and overwhelmed. And I want God to be with me, but I don't feel him. That's what we see here. And note all of a sudden how we see the gospel isn't about fantasy land. It's not about a world that doesn't exist. It's about the world we live in and about what really happens in our hearts and our spirits. And so it is then that this group of men in the boat is beginning to feel overwhelmed because now the winds are getting strong. Now the waves are rising and they don't know if they're going to make it to the other side. Just like so many of us can feel. Especially late at night when we can't sleep and all of our insecurities begin speaking to us. And all of our worries begin replaying themselves in our minds. And it's at this moment where they're beginning to feel overwhelmed that something strange happens. They're already 3 or 4 miles away from shore. At that great distance from shore, they look out through the darkness and they see a form coming toward them on top of the waters. Untroubled by those high winds, not worried about the waves, simply coming forward to them. And as that shape draws nearer, they recognize that it looks like Jesus. They've been with Jesus for a couple years now. They've never seen him do anything like this. And let's understand, this is not Jesus walking across a swimming pool. This is not Jesus walking across a pond. This is 4 miles away from the shore. So either he walked all that distance on top of the water or he just showed up there. But either way, it is not something as trivial as there was a little bit of water and Jesus walked across it. This is somebody walking across the ocean, somebody walking across the sea, somebody walking on top of the surging disorder of its waves, and he's completely unbothered by it. And that's the remarkable thing, is the peacefulness of this figure that is approaching the boat. They're in the boat where they should be safer than somebody out on the water. And yet it's this one who's walking, who's untroubled, moving easily, coming directly to them. And of course they're afraid. Of course they're frightened by this because they can't imagine anything like this. They never expected to see anything like this. This goes beyond all that they know. And so they're troubled, not because they're afraid of the one who's coming, but because the world now seems so different. What kind of world are we living in where somebody can do this? And who is he? I thought I knew him. It looks like Jesus, but I never knew Jesus this way. Note what's happening. Jesus is also using this as an opportunity to stretch his disciples' minds and hearts so that now they know him in a new way. And the experience of being alone on the water is also at the service of the Lord showing his disciples who he really is in a way that they'll never forget. And so he comes to them in their fear. He comes to them in their uncertainty. He lets them feel those things so that then they can know the peace that he will bring them. And it's a remarkably beautiful moment. And so the Lord crosses over the water. They're frightened. And his response is very simple. It is I. Do not be afraid. And note the first gift that his presence brings. It quiets the fear. It quiets the trouble in the heart. It settles everything down. And all of a sudden, those apostles realize that in addition to the waves rocking the boat, there were all those troubles that were rocking their hearts. All of those waves of anxiety, all of those waves of doubt surging in their hearts, and they didn't realize how heavy that was until now. And the Lord comes. It is I. Do not be afraid. And this is the peace that the Lord gives. It's the peace that first overcomes fear. It's the peace that can quiet the heart and settle the mind and still the mind. It's this gift of his peace which makes it possible to receive every other gift that he has for us. And we hear in the gospel reading that as he says this, they want to take him into the boat with them because they want him with them. And then suddenly something happens. Immediately, they've crossed the ocean and they're on the other side. And so that's the second miracle in the story. The first miracle is the Lord walking across the water. The second is when he arrives and they recognize him, the boat is immediately where it wanted to go all along. Note how wondrous that is. It's a reminder that getting to the other side is not simply a matter of how hard we row. It's not simply a matter of how well we manage the boat. That's not unimportant. But getting to the other side is always the work of Jesus Christ. Getting to the other side is a gift that comes to us from Christ. And it's this moment where we recognize that the church will get to the other side. However great the storms of the world are, that boat gets to the other side. And it gets to the other side because Christ will get it there. We just have to stay in the boat and keep moving along with the boat. But recognizing as well that storms do come up. Crises do come up. That is how the world works. The Lord doesn't take those things away. The Lord carries us through them. The Lord allows us to overcome them. The Lord allows us to be greater than those things. That's the real gift. And in doing this, what Jesus is really showing his disciples is that he's not just a prophet, that he's not just a good teacher or a good man. He's something greater than that. He's God. Because only God masters the water this way. Only God moves across the water this way. Only God does something like this. The disciples don't fully understand all of that yet, but they're feeling that first clear indication that the one who is with us is more than just another good person. He's, in fact, the best of persons. What a great moment this is. And it's wonderful that we can reflect on this here at Mass. Because even though it doesn't look like a boat, in no small measure, that's what we're in right now. That symbol of the church as a group of people together in a boat moving forward. We don't feel the building move, but our lives are moving forward even as we're sitting here. And there are many of us, I don't doubt, who are here, who've had a rough week. There are several of us here who are going through some very difficult moments. There are other members here whose life is pretty settled and pretty sure, but it wasn't that way maybe a short time ago. But we're all here moving forward together. There's somebody here who's going to have a bad week next week. You know, that's how the world works. But no, we're here together. And whatever it is we are going through, in just a couple minutes, he's going to be here too. We're not going to see anybody walking across water, but Jesus is going to be here. He's going to step out of the glory of heaven and be on this altar. And from that altar, your eyes are going to see me. But the reality is, he is going to come down off that altar right here to the front. Note how he draws near to the boat. And drawing near to the boat, he's going to invite you to come forward and receive him. Unlike the apostles, we get to take Jesus into our boats today. We get to receive him and his goodness and his peace. But as he's on the altar, the first thing he is going to say is, "It is I." You don't need to be afraid here. You don't need to be insecure here. I'm here. And then he comes, and we stretch out our hands to receive him. And we take him into the boat of our heart. And why? Because he's here to make sure that we do get to that other side. That other side where there is no trouble. That other side where there is no sadness. That other side where there is no pain. That other side where there's only goodness. And how do we get there? We let him carry us there. We let him move us there. We let him get us there. And what a great gift that indeed is. And so we have these two marvelous lessons in our scriptures today. The importance of the presence of Christ for all of us to move forward. And yet the importance within that of those who see that help needs to be given, having the courage and the grace to step forward and say, there's something I can do. There's something that I bring. Because that's a big part of how the boat gets to the other side. Amen.